Log Talk Radio.
It is what it is. Welcome to Collective Minds Radio. This is Mufasa Ra getting ready for a wonderful show with my co-host, Love Lachey, and Brother Kevin.
Yo, yo, yo.
Let me get some more of that.
Hold up.
Peace to the fam. Peace, peace.
That's my NFL theme music, y'all. As we all know that we are coming up on the 2017 NFL season. Kickoff is Thursday. The time where all us football fans unite. But we have a little problem, y'all. We got this Colin Kaepernick situation still lingering in the air. If y'all didn't know, Colin Kaepernick is a football player who last year decided to take a knee during the national anthem in order to protest police brutality. This seemed to upset all the owners, seemed to upset the league, upset a gazillion fans. It just caused a bunch of turmoil, a bunch of controversy. So today, we want to talk about this situation with Colin Kaepernick, because they talking about boycotting this season. You know, a lot of black people saying, since Colin Kaepernick don't have a job, I forgot to add that in, he ain't working this year, y'all, he ain't found the team. You know, a lot of people feel like he's been blackballed from the NFL. They feel like a lot of teams don't want to touch him because of his stance last year with all the protests and what it, you know, the unnecessary drama they say it brings to the franchises. So we want to dive into this topic and see if boycotting the NFL is an effective way to show support for Colin Kaepernick. You know, do you support Colin Kaepernick's stance against police brutality? Do you agree with him? And if so, do you agree with the way he boycotted? And if you did agree, do you feel that we should boycott the NFL until he gets a job back, until some team puts him on? So that's where we at, y'all. Love Lachey, Brother Kev, y'all there. Which one of y'all want to touch a little bit on this subject first?
I don't mind saying something first. Because he's still not picked up. I thought he was actually picked up by now, but nevertheless, I support his stand and what he's doing. And excuse me, I'm actually okay with the way that, you know, he chooses to express himself. I'm actually okay with it, for the simple fact he's not harming anyone. He's using the platform that he has to use to make, you know, make light of the situation. Of course, for me, as me being a black woman, I don't agree with the way that, you know, the black culture and black people have been oppressed, and the fact that he chooses to try to stand up and fight against it. I mean, I can't do nothing but, you know, applaud that. I think that's a great thing, and I just see him as using the platform that he's on to do that. And I don't see nothing wrong with it, with his method, and I don't see nothing wrong with other people getting behind him and boycotting the NFL. You know, if someone chooses to do that, I don't see nothing wrong with it. If someone chooses not to do that and chooses use another way, hey, I don't see nothing wrong with it either. As long as you know, the fight has been made, or you're not just saying that you are okay with it. I think that's the message. The overall, he's just trying to let people know that he's not okay with the way that blacks have been treated by police, you know. So I don't see anything wrong with it. And boycotting is one of the greatest methods for change anyway, you know. So it's like, if you don't boycott, what you going to do, protest? Nobody afraid of protesting. That's nothing. They just look out their windows out there and they standing and marching again. Nobody cares about protesting. So boycotting is the way for, if you're going to do anything, that I think that's one of the biggest ways to be effective.
All right. Brother Kev, what about you? Brother Kev, you still there? Well, let's say your comments may have knocked him out. I don't know what happened to Brother Kev. You still there, Lovely Shay?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Brother Kevin. I don't know.
Okay, he on timeout. So,
okay.
Like you said, you say you don't have a problem with boycotting, but if people just going to be out there yelling and screaming, then... And causing confusion with protesting. You don't agree with that, but you cool with a boycott.
Yeah, I'm cool with a boycott.
Looks
like
we just love
to back on the line.
Hey,
I'm saying with a boycott.
Well, y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
All right, go ahead. I'll go chime in after you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my thing with as far as boycotting is, now with me, I look at it like this. Depends on, like, we got a lot of people saying they're going to boycott by not watching the games. Now, to me, I don't understand. To me, that's not an effective way to boycott the NFL. I really don't think that bothers them whether you watch or don't watch. As far as, like, if you protesting or boycotting because of police brutality, I think that almost makes them win, because now they don't have to, like, they got on Colin's head about kneeling and it made them look bad to the public. You know what I'm saying? They didn't like that visual sign of what he was doing. So to me, I feel like we need to give them more of what makes them uncomfortable. Instead of just boycotting and not watching, I think we should continue to go. And we should do exactly what Colin was doing, constantly shedding light on police brutality, sitting down doing national anthem. Go, instead of carrying your signs for your best teams, for your favorite teams, also carry signs with you that say, we don't agree with police brutality. You know what I'm saying? Use this platform, because that's what Colin did. Colin threw his neck on the line and publicly protested against police brutality. And I think it shows us that we in more, you know, unified front out there and promote his message just as loud and strong as he was doing. So to me, there's a better way to boycott than not watching. And that's the stance that I'm taking. I want to continue to keep it in their face that we don't agree with police brutality. And I'm hoping that more and more players continue to take a knee as a show of unification with Colin, or putting their fist in the air, whatever it takes to show that we are unified against police brutality. We want that to be seen across the world. And also, I feel that when you throw this out in their face, when you continue to put the visual out for them to see, it puts it throws more of it into the players' face to want to do more for their community. Also, you know, their revenue that those places are bringing in, you know, that quite a few might be doing what they need to do with it. But I think that this situation is showing players that they need to take their dollars and use it more to help situations like this, to help people that can't speak for themselves, help build up your community. You know, use these resources to help the underprivileged. So I don't want them to not play. I don't want them to not get that income. I want them to continue to make the money. I just want them to do what they need to do with the money, to do better with helping, to helping more people in need, especially helping people in the Black community, to try to speak up and protest against police brutality. So that's basically where I'm standing with it. I just feel that it's a better way to protest or to boycott than just not watching. Because to me, it's like that's almost like what they want us to do. They want us out the way so we can't make them uncomfortable. They rather just go on with the game and enjoy the football game and that be that. But no, we want them to continue to see that, yeah, we're here unified watching this game, but we also know that there's problems in America, and police brutality is one of them that we don't tolerate. And something needs to be done. So we need to keep on putting it in their face. Keep Black men out there. You know, while people standing on the outside, or why people not watching, like I say, they out of the limelight. So go to the games. Go to the games. Raise your signs and saying anti-police brutality. Do all that. Make them uncomfortable. So in a nutshell, that's where I'm at with it. Brother Kerry, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I definitely got to chime in on this. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, good. Loud and clear. Yeah, so, Brother Mufasa, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with basically pretty much everything you said, because you had made a point like that we need to keep putting it in their face. But my thing is, in their face, and they know about police brutality. The thing is, they choose to ignore it and just say it's not a problem. You dig what I'm saying? So my thing is, I support Kaepernick. I support the boycott. Just coming from a personal standpoint, I was a big football fan. You know what I mean? I used to watch the NFL. I had a squad. If my squad lost on Sunday, it was a bad week. If they won, it was a good week. Like, I was into it. I knew the players. I could read off stats and do all this stuff. But I support the boycott because I think it stands for something bigger than just the individual pastime or personal thing that I like to do on Sundays or Thursdays or whenever they play nowadays. You know what I'm saying? So I look at it as basically a way, and even though you did make a good point, because if it's just Black people that's boycotting, it's really not going to affect the bottom line, because we're not as big as ticket holders, and we don't put really a lot of resources into the NFL. So it's not going to hurt them per se just by doing it the first year. But I think if it gets some momentum, they will definitely start to see the effect of people not watching football. Because even though a lot of quote-unquote Black people do enjoy and watch football, how much money are we spending yearly compared to, you know, the white collective? You know what I'm saying? So they will continue to go on, but they will see a loss in numbers, and they will see an effect in their bottom line if people start to boycott. So I think it's definitely effective. I think it sends a message to them that we're serious about police brutality and things being recognized and injustices in the system. I think it shows unity. It shows that we can stand together for something. So all that to say, you know, we can say that people need to, the players need to step up and do all this stuff and be an example like Kaepernick, but we see what happened to Kaepernick. These players don't want to lose their job for standing up for something that they know is right. You dig what I'm saying? Jerry Jones came out and said if any of his players sit, they off the team. Now, I saw that report. I can't really confirm it, but this was what was circulating online, that Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, said if any of his players sit or kneel or do anything, disrespectful to the national anthem. They off his team. So they've drawn their line as far as owners, and they're talking about, you know, sponsors. Like, sponsors may trip if Cap is on the team or whatever, and a fan base may trip. Basically, the white fan base would trip if Cap is on the team, and that is more valuable than police brutality and, you know, injustices to black people. They don't care about that. They know what's going on. Like, people like to act like, you know, these politicians and these owners of these sports teams and people don't know what's going on. They all know what's going on, just like we know what's going on. The difference is they just choose to ignore it because it doesn't affect them and their family. You dig what I'm saying? So these players, they don't want to stand up even though they know it's the right thing, and they come from these impoverished hoods, and, you know, they come from the struggle, but they didn't made it out and got their big check, so they're not going to risk that just for, you know, for just making a stand, because the owners have drawn the line. They made example out of Cap. Look, if y'all want to do this, you know what I mean, then it's going to be a problem. Now, we do know that Marshawn Lynch said he's been sitting for 11 years and it ain't been no problem, you know, which is all fine and dandy, but every player is not a Marshawn Lynch. And they could look past the Marshawn Lynch doing that because the boy is one of the top, you know, top players or backs in the league. Every black player that makes a stand and does that doesn't have that type of, you know, doesn't carry that type of weight. You know what I'm saying? And if enough players do it, they'll just get rid of the players that do and fill them in with somebody else. Like, there's so many people lined up to be in the NFL and have these contracts and, you know, play for these teams that, you know, one nigga gone, they go replace them. It's just like a revolving door. Like, it's really no problem. Okay, you want to stand up against police brutality, boom, get up out of here. We'll get somebody that ain't even tripping off of it. You dig what I'm saying? So I think it's important to unite and send a message to them that we're not playing. And like I said, eventually it will affect their bottom line. It may not happen in one season because, like I said, the majority of the fan base, it's a white fan base. Let's just be real. So even a boycott is really not hurting them. But I say we still should take a stance to let them know that we're not playing and we do stand with Cap. Now, my only thing about the boycott is that Cap, you know, we boycotting for Cap to get a job, which, you know, Cap, I feel like he does the right thing with his salary as far as, you know, he be donating water to Ghana. He be, you know, buying ex-felon suits so they can go to job interviews and giving them, you know, job training and job interview training. Like, he actually puts his money where his mouth is. You dig what I'm saying? Which is a good thing. So in that respect, I would want him to, you know, get his job back and have a salary. That way he can continue to help out the community and help out those that are, you know, those that are underprivileged. So in that respect, I do want him to get his job. But my thing is, I stopped boycotting the NFL long before Cap took a knee, and that was just due to personal reasons. You know, there's just 1,000 reasons to boycott the NFL and basically sports in general, even though, you know, we as black people, we love sports, we love football, we love basketball. That's like, you know, part of our pastime. But those things are actually distractions and keeping us in the position that we are in. So my personal sacrifice maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you know, when I started having kids, is I just cut cable. That way I can't even watch football if I wanted to. You know what I'm saying? Now, I do enjoy the camaraderie of going over my boy's house and, you know, chilling, and the game may be on, but I'm not really tripping off the game. Like I said, I don't really follow the game no more, but I do like to, you know, fellowship with the homies, and they may be into the game and we just over there, you know, talking or doing whatever. But I just made a personal decision to boycott the NFL and just sports in general, because it's really a waste of time to me, and this is a form of sports fan talking. Once you come into a certain knowledge, like there's a difference, like somebody said today, there's a difference between knowledge and understanding. You dig what I'm saying? Like, you can have knowledge, which is just a lot of information, but you're not doing nothing with it. When you get to a point of understanding, then your behavior starts to change. You dig what I'm saying? So I'm not, so there's a lot of things that are wrong with the system, and, you know, we can all probably do a better job at trying to fix the system and boycotting certain things and just, you know, giving the system back. But that's, like I said, that's going to take a lot of sacrifice and put you in an uncomfortable position, because the solutions are laid out. If we really were serious about, you know, black people, about us getting back our humanity and us being, you know, where we need to be in divine and righteous human beings like we're supposed to be, the solutions have been laid out. It's all there. It's just that we don't want to give up football. We don't want to give up our nice, comfy position. We don't want to do this and that. And I'm putting myself in that box, too. You know what I'm saying? But these are things that we're going to have to do, or they're going to force us to do. You dig what I'm saying? So I look at this, just to wrap it up real quick, I just look at this as just another step to where we need to be. You know, this boycott, just not watching NFL, is really not a big deal in the big scheme of things, because there's a lot of things going on that we know that need to be corrected. But if we're distracted by football stats and, you know, basketball stats, then it's like, you know, we're missing the whole point. And we'll continue to see our kids and our men and our women unarmed getting shot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is just one of the ways to combat that. And like Michael Jackson said, it all starts with the man in the mirror. I think he said it best. So if we're looking for change and looking for us to unite as a people, you know, we got to start with ourselves first and start making those changes to do that. So I feel like the boycott is effective. It will be effective. We may not see the changes this year, but I think it will be effective in the long term. So, you know, that's my two piece. I do got more, but, you know, we'll go back.
Yeah, we got time, because I got to touch on some of this stuff you said that I'm disagreeing with and got questions with. Because to me, boycotting the NFL has taken, we all talking about boycotting the NFL because of what's going on with Kaepernick. To me, it's a win for police brutality, because we're not even talking about police brutality no more. We talking about boycotting the NFL because of what they're doing to Kaepernick. The focus has been taken all the way off of police brutality. And that's what the original thing, what the reason Colin took the knee, was to shed light on police brutality.
So and I think
it's
still there.
And yeah, but we constantly focusing about boycotting the NFL and him getting his job back. That's what everybody been tripping off of. You know, he ain't got his job. They blackballing him. But we should still be focusing 100% strong on police brutality. That's why he threw himself on the sword for police brutality. So, I mean, when we talking about players like him that's giving money, trust and believe, he's not the only one. You know how many players is right now that you don't even know about is helping with the situation in Texas? I mean, players are giving millions of dollars to help with that situation.
And of course, that's what they're supposed to do, Toy. Like, this
how can they do that if we take away, and I know I got an idea what you're going to say, but we boycott the NFL and we shut that down. We shut down these players' income. Now, who gives then? Who helps with these situations then? If you're saying that's what they're supposed to do, now what about they can't do it? What about if we put them in a position, now they can't do it? Because they
but
don't
the
have
same
a job.
People who donate now, which is the average normal person who donates to people and donates to a certain organization and helps people out, like, it don't always have to be monetary, you know what I'm saying? But we can help out in ways by helping physically. We can move some things or, you know, help some people. But, yeah, that's what
So hold on then. That's good. That's all fine and dandy. But you cannot overlook financial resources, because to go down there to buy boats, to get gas in boats, to bring clothing down there, diapers down there, all that stuff takes money. Now, yeah, you can go down there and donate your time, but feeding them people down there, like I said, you know, all that stuff takes financial resources to do. How, like, if we here in St. Louis, say we got a bunch of items here in St. Louis that we could, that we want to donate. Say we millionaires, me and you, we millionaires. We done went to Sam's or Walmart, wherever we went, and we done bought up Pampers, baby wipes, all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? We bought this. We still got to get the stuff down there. You know what I'm saying? So this, that stuff takes financial resources. It's cool to have the manpower. We need that also. But we still need them financial. I mean, like, I saw some brothers from the Panthers reaching out on social media about getting help down there. Now, that's cool that they was able to get some boots on the ground and help out. But if we had the financial backing of somebody that could give us the resources, actually round up a posse of people, take supplies down, I mean, everything helps. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to lose no money. Every little drop of every little coin we got, we need to help our people out.
This is the reality because let's break it down by the numbers, okay? We have, let's say, 45 million black people in America, right? The NFL has 32 teams, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, 32 teams times what? We got a 52-man roster, right? So we talking about 1,500 total players in the NFL. Now, out of those 1,500 total players, let's just say 1,000 of them are black, 1,000.
Okay.
So we talking about 1,000 men out of 40 million black people in America. Though the funds that they're getting, and out of those 1,000 men, everybody's not making $1 million. Out of those 1,000 men, you may have, you know, 50 to 100 that are even making $1 million. The rest of those salaries are 80,000, 100,000, 200,000. So what I'm saying is the number of total players in the NFL is very small and minute compared to the total population of black people in America. And on top of that, the NFL has been in existence for 50-plus years, and we can count on hand the number of athletes that have actually done significant work in the community.
Let's not go in the past.
You dig what I'm saying?
Let's stick with now. Let's stick with now. Let's not go back in the past.
Now, right, exactly. So now you can still count the number of players who are doing significant work in the community. Yeah, they may give to the Red Cross. They may give to the Boys and Girls Club here. They may do give to the Boy Scouts and, you know, they blow this up. But no, we talking about helping the people who need help in the community. We talking about grassroots organization. How many of these NFL players donate to grassroots organization? You can count them on hand, and you could probably still have one hand left. This is what I'm saying. So because the NFL, we do know the NFL grounds. Huh?
Look at what J.J. Watt just did. He started, NFL player with the Texans. He started asking for, his goal was to reach, I think it was $100,000 to help donate to the flood victims down in Texas. That was his goal when he first started, was to reach $100,000. So many
right.
that came to his aid to help out that the numbers grew so much, he ended up upping the bar to $1 million. Now, let's not, when we're talking about one football player that reached out to others. What you're saying is, let's say they reached that $1 million, right? Without
right.
them, that's without that help, without that little small, because it seems like you considering $1 million is nothing. Without even that help, now that's $1 million that we don't have. So can we afford to say we don't need that $1 million? No, we needed that money. People needed that $1 million. So we can't afford to throw it back away just because it ain't $100 million.
My brother.
So what
but look, Mufasa. That money is not going. See, what I think is your worldview. See, you thinking that they're doing the right thing with that money, right? That's what you think, that it's going to be evenly distributed to white and black people. No. The people who need it the most are not going to get the money, and I base this on historical records. We can look at all these hurricanes that happened Katrina on down to where the people who need it, which are mostly black and brown poor people, they do not get the funds that are being raised. These funds go to people, majority white, who are already established, whose homes may have been affected and got insurance and all this other stuff. That money goes to them. See, this is the reality of what we got to face. So the money J.J. Watt raised or whatever, and he's correct me if I'm wrong, he's a European white player. He is not, those funds, let's put it like this, those funds are not getting to the people who need it the most.
How do you know?
Based on Katrina.
Are you assuming?
We can look at Katrina. No, I'm basing this on history. I'm basing this on history. There was a hurricane that hit Katrina. That hit New Orleans. And we could talk about the earthquake and hurricanes in Haiti. When people raise these funds, they do not get to the people. And when I say the people, I mean the poor people, the people on the bottom who need it the most. Yeah, some rich people homes and middle class homes got flooded and was affected, but are the funds going to the people? And we can look, we can follow the paper trail. You can do your research. You can follow the paper trail.
That's what I've been saying.
Typically,
you gotta do your
the money does not, exactly. And I encourage everybody to do their research on the earthquake in Haiti, study Katrina, study the other hurricane that happened in Haiti, and all this money, billions of dollars that the Red Cross collected. They built like two homes in Haiti, like, come on, man.
Right.
Like, they've been running this con game for the longest, and I think you just think that they're going to do the right thing with the money when that has not been the case.
I'm playing the numbers game. What I'm doing is playing the numbers game. I'm looking at it like, say, with that 100, okay, we know all the players' money ain't going where it's supposed to go, but there's some that is, and I don't want to lose that. Like, prime example, have you ever heard of a basketball player named T.J. Ford? He's a retired NBA player named T.J. Ford. His wife, Candace Ford, she got an organization called Project Beautiful Me. So I want y'all to Google that up. Google up Project Beautiful Me and Candace Ford. Their organization right now, as we speak, is hands-on in Beaumont, Texas, I believe. And they collecting supplies. They doing this all with their money. They not reaching out to the Red Cross and these other organizations. They doing this amongst themselves and other retired players. You know, people in general. These are our people on the ground making it happen. So without them, without T.J. Ford, you know, that's just one story. That's just one story of our people that are doing the work. So we just can't say that because the majority of them are not doing the work. There is a percentage that are. So what I'm saying is when we it's just like having a, you know, like you say, apple and stuff, love or not. That's because all of them ain't doing, the majority ain't doing what they're supposed to do. There is a percentage that is doing what they're supposed to do to help their people. So you just going to get rid of them with the whole barrel, with the whole bunch? I mean, that little bit of resources we don't have now. How you just taking more away from our people?
Right. So what I would say in response to that is there are a lot of black people donating a lot of money. See, we just heard about these athletes because they got a platform and they, quote, unquote, famous. They got a little fame. But what about the black people that are donating that we don't hear about? You know what I'm saying? What about the people that are just donating on their own, doctors, lawyers, engineers, you know, architects, whoever. There's people out there donating. Like, that's what I'm saying. So the argument about the NFL money is there's plenty of black people with money that don't play football. Like I said, the number is so small, it's really insignificant compared to the larger scale.
All right. We need to tell all the NFL players. Texas, people in Texas don't need y'all money because y'all corrupt. Y'all ain't no good. Keep y'all money because nobody in Texas. You know, go back to Coonan. The 5 or 10% of y'all that's doing what y'all supposed to do, we don't need it. because y'all is cooning. We don't need y'all money. Keep y'all money for yourself. That's the message that we're putting out, right?
No, sir. No, that's not what we're saying at all. What we're saying is, what I'm saying is, the money typically in these natural disasters, and like I said, I'm basing this just off history, in these natural disasters, the people who need the help the most never get it. So that's all I'm saying. So you can raise $1 million, you can raise two, 10, whatever, 50 billion, but the people that need the money is not going to get it, and we've seen this historically. So, you know, my thing is, but I think we're kind of getting off topic. I think we kind of getting off topic, so we can get back to Cap.
Let me say real quick, I kept going along with that dialogue in order to prove a point. See how we steadily talking about the NFL players and their money and what's going on with that? See how we shifted from where this started from? Police brutality. And see, that's what I'm saying. To me, this is a trick. This is a ploy and a trick to take us off of police brutality, and we focusing on boycotting the NFL. You know what I'm saying? That's where our mistake is. We should be focusing on police brutality. We need to be continually, and we want to boycott and protest. We need to be at these police stations. We need to be at the police station, protesting them, boycotting against them, telling your the people in your government, hey, we want our tax dollars to go towards a unified or a better police department. We want police departments that look like us and our communities. Now, that's the type of stuff that we need to be boycotting and protesting against. Because
those are the ones
that originate this problem, is the police department.
We're going to have to come to grips with this important fact. They don't care about none of that. There have been plenty of black people that have went to these police stations and said these things that articulating today. And they don't care about that. This is what we got to understand. We just got to face the harsh reality. They don't care. You know, that's the bottom line. So as far as us taking the message off of police brutality, I don't know if that's true, because that's just like saying when they boycotted the buses in Montgomery, Alabama, that the focus was on Rosa Parks and not the injustice. No, we still talking about police brutality. We just saying that Cap needs his job back because y'all basically blackballed him because he took a stand against police brutality. So I think the message is still there. The message is still there. You dig what I'm saying? And, you know, we just need to support the brother, even though he would be going back to work for racist owners who we know are racist because they showed their hand. They basically showed their hand and say, look, we don't care about what y'all think. Like I say, if we get rid of Cap, another nigga step up to replace him, no problem. So they basically shitting on our community, for lack of better terms. You know what I mean? They basically shitting on our community saying, we don't care if police kill y'all, we support the police. We got badge day Sundays. We going to give out badges. And we don't care, you know, what y'all think. You know, that's basically what they're saying by taking this stand.
Well, it's going to be It's going to be the same thing if you sit down the NFL. They can take every black player out the NFL. That's just more work for the white boys.
No, but what's going to happen is it's not going to be the same game. No, it's not going to be the same game. No, you know they need.
Tell you why. You know how much them tickets cost? You know how much all that stuff comes? It's the people with money that's supporting the game. The low man.
And who they coming to see?
That's struggling, can't even afford to go to them games.
Who they coming to see, though? The black players. Like, if you got rid of the black players, your defense gone, running backs gone, you have a few quarterbacks and some kickers out there. Like, we are the game. They come to see us. Like, we've seen this back in the day with the Negro Leagues in Major League Baseball. The Negro Leagues was thriving. They had better players. So they definitely don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
because they know that the juice is with the black players. And they know that their white fan base comes to see the black players, period, point blank. And you can go down the line of the top players and stats in the league. The majority of them are black players, period, point blank. So, and they know this. You know what I'm saying? They know this.
Why not just tell, why not promote NFL players, black NFL players, to start their own league instead of boycotting it? Go down and say, hey, we need to start our own league. Keep that in their face.
Yeah, that's what needs to happen.
Attack it that way. I just think we just be attacking these problems, to me, the wrong way. I think we be attacking them ways that they're not going to be as effective. Like, we just going to sit down and walk away, not watch the game. Keep the problem in their face. Go there. Tell these players, hey, get our own league. Start your own league. You know what I'm saying? And if you're going to sit down, also keep, you know, say that. Say that. We're sitting down until we get out.
So right. But here goes the, yeah, I mean,
if you're going to go that route, at least say that.
Right. I feel that. But the thing is, we gotta crawl before we walk, because we got to fight with the weapons that we have. And as of right now, we don't have many weapons. You dig what I'm saying? So the easiest thing for us to do right now in this situation is just simply not to watch. We're not calling for no violence. We're not calling for people to go out and buy nothing. We're not calling for people to march or protest. We just simply,
now,
people just simply just saying
people?
Not watch.
And what does
because
that do for
what's going to happen is it's going to bring awareness, and the NFL bottom line will be affected. Nobody's saying it's going to stop police brutality. That's just like the Montgomery bus boycott didn't stop racism. You dig what I'm saying? It didn't stop racism and all
people,
that.
But people wasn't forced to sit on the back of the bus for anything. So that's why I don't see that analogy there. Because that makes sense.
But what did that do,
like
though?
How is it going to stop police brutality? If the NFL was to disappear today, poof, it's gone. How is that going to change police brutality? What does it do for police brutality?
That's just like anything. I mean, police brutality is just one fight that we're fighting. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things. Educational injustice, economic injustice. There's a lot of things.
But that's
and
what
we fighting.
If you win, if we shut down the NFL, that means you have won the battle of what you wanted. You wanted to succeed at shutting down the NFL. So I'm saying you won that fight. The NFL is now shut down. My question to you is, how is it going to affect police brutality, which was why
listen though, this would have happened because the racist white supremacist owners will have less money. Less money means less power. Yeah, they gonna still have some money, but they're not gonna have as much if the NFL shuts down. They're gonna lose a lot of power. So in that respect, by taking away a racist owner funds for him to have power, that's a win. It may not be directly for police brutality, but that is a win anytime you can take resources from the racist white supremacists. That's
but
a win.
Still like, question though, how does it help to solve the problem of police brutality? That's all I'm asking.
It helps by the racists not being in power, because the NFL supports a lot, like I said, they support Blue Lives Matter and all these other things, so it helps them by taking funds and power away from them. So indirectly, it does support.
We pay the police salary.
Let me add something to this, because Mustafa, I can't believe it. Sounds like I've been doing a lot of listening. And it sounds to me like Mufasa is basically saying that boycotting don't help nothing. Like, what's the purpose of it? That's what it sounds like. You correct
me. I'm asking you the same question, Lola. Say how if the NFL
hold on, talking. Because.
But I want you to answer that question too. In the middle of your statement.
Question three times, and that's why I said let me jump in here. I would love to at least give my opinion toward the question. I'm okay to answer that, but I, like I said, I've been listening for a long time, so I want to say more than just that. Now, it sounds like you're saying that boycotting don't help, like that's not an effective strategy to make change. And to me, that sounds kind of crazy. That's one of the things that I see help. I mean, that will change because it affects, like Brother Kevin was saying, money and power, all those things intertwine. As far as, let me just, since I know you probably over there scratching under your arms, let me just jump right into your question real fast, and then I'll go back and say the other stuff I want to say. As far as how that would help police brutality, it's more so for me, how I look at it is that it's a step toward helping the cause. No one is suggesting that this is going to solve all the problems, just like there is no one solution that's going to solve the problem anyway. These are just mere steps that put us towards helping the situation that we're in because it does bring more awareness. It does, it's a lot of things that it shows. It puts
Facts.
The black community and others in a more united format
Facts.
Where we more connected where we can do more things. Other than just
right.
boycotting the NFL, that can spill over into other things. It's just a mere step
Fact.
Forward. No one, I don't,
Fact.
I've never heard anyone say that this is going to solve the whole racial problem, the whole police brutality
right.
problem. You know, it's more things to it, but these are just mere steps. Just like when you
Fact.
Mentioned about the players, that's the same message. Okay, you have had just a few little players that got something. Those are just mere steps as well to help the community.
Mm-hmm.
So those
exactly.
are mere steps too. And the players that you're speaking about that do all these great things, and I took time to look up their project, Beautiful Me, which is a great program, but I can guarantee you if we was to talk to this former NBA player, T.J. Ford, and his wife, I guarantee you they're going to still say they need more money. So where are these other players that you putting all this greatness on that got the money, how much are they still giving these guys? The point is this. At some point, everybody is going to have to agree to move in a certain direction together. And
right.
if you can get a
right.
few people to do something and just be united, then it helps the cause. It helps the cause. It
right.
don't solve it because there's no one solution that's going to solve it anyway because it's too many different
things, layers.
Too many different entities that causes the problem. So it
right.
has to be addressed individually. As far as the distance, so I don't get too far off the subject with this young man, Colin, what he's doing basically from just what I've learned about the situation is that he's basically using his platform that he has to just try to make a stance to say, hey, I don't agree with police brutality. I don't agree with the oppression. I don't think his kneeling is just only about police brutality. Police brutality in the whole is the idea of whites thinking that they are better, being better and treating blacks, in a worse situation. That's police brutality stems from that. If they didn't, if white people didn't oppress black people, we wouldn't have to worry about police brutality. So the picture
Fact.
Is bigger than that anyway. So I think
Fact.
His stance, from what I can see, is not just police brutality alone. It's more so the bigger picture, which is you oppressing black people. You've been doing it forever.
Fact.
And these are the results of it. Police brutality is
right.
the result of it. Poor housing
exactly.
is the result of it. All these other things are the result of it. I'm sure that's what his kneeling is in regards to because he's kneeling against the national anthem, which is what's supposed to uphold the American, the United States. So I don't see
right.
him just kneeling just only like he don't want police brutality, but he okay with all the other racial things that happen to us. No.
Right.
He's taking a thing. And he's just basically one person that's using his platform, just like if you was to make a stance, your position and your and the way you would do it would probably be different based off of your situation and where you are in your life and how you live and all your circumstances. He is a football player. So the way he can express himself is from that. You know, so the way you do it is the way you do it. But at some point, if we can figure out a way to merge everybody to go into the same direction, I think that's what's the big deal about the boycotting, because what it does is put everybody in a united state where they saying, okay, we all agree that this is not good, and we all agree that we want to make a change and see something different. And if we can start with this, this can hopefully help or open someone's eyes. It can make whoever decides to do this come together to unite. It can make them stronger. Maybe they can think of other things and other ways and other methods. So boycotting is not a bad thing, and is tremendously effective.
Agree. Well put, love, Lachey. Agree. And let me just add on real quick, because like she said, all right, real quick before we hit the phone lines. This is just one solution to the entire problem, because like Love Lachey said, there's so many different entities and different layers to the system that we live in that we got to attack it the best way we know how with the resources and stuff that we have. You dig what I'm saying? So, yeah, just wanted to add that point. I think that was well said. Let's get some callers in here.
Let's call caller from the 314 from St. Louis, 314-381. Call on you there.
Well, I don't think the boycott's going to go any place.
Peace, caller.
How you doing, caller?
And I'm going to tell you, pretty good. First place, athletes shouldn't be getting involved in political issues, especially in today's times, because you have a diverse audience. You have advertising that's going to a diverse viewership, and they stand to be offended, and then they will boycott. Another point, I can't, for the best of me, understand other players talking about not playing because Kaepernick's not playing. Now, here's the reason why. If Kaepernick is the great quarterback that he is, why would other team players want to have that competition, possibly beating them, knocking them out of the playoffs, or even winning against them in the Super Bowl? Do you think that opposing teams that Peyton Manning beat in those two arenas would have wished that something would have disabled him where he didn't have to perform? So why would they want Kaepernick, if he's that great of a quarterback, to be able to compete against them? Something's wrong with that pitching. Just like when you have whites fighting against white supremacy. That's stupid, too. Something's wrong with that pitching. I don't understand it. Where's all the logic and thinking?
Okay, let me respond, caller, real quick, to your first point. You say that the football players should not get political and should not be involved in the thing. But anytime there's a war, 9/11, veterans, salute the veterans, breast cancer, all these are political issues. War is definitely a political issue. And the NFL has no problem with supporting the soldiers and doing all this other stuff. So the players are already political. They just don't want the players to speak about black issues. You dig what I'm saying? That's the only problem.
Well,
you can be
political.
You can talk about, you can talk about war. You can talk about all these other things. You can, do all these other things. And a lot of the owners came out and said they support Trump. So that's political.
Well, don't blacks? I supported Trump too, by the way. But don't blacks fight in the military also? The NFL already have.
But then the black soldiers have to come home and fight here too as well. So how do you explain that?
Well,
Hold on, listen, let me make this point real quick. They go overseas and fight. The Koreans But then the Koreans can come in their neighborhood and open up a store faster than them. So what do you call that?
I mean, that's the opportunity that exists in America. And really, right, what Kaepernick's doing is not going to...
The better than the soldier, the black soldier that just fought, and he comes back home to his neighborhood,
War is something that's approved in the U.S. Constitution. Another thing, blacks have the possibility... Oh, sir, come on now.
The U.S. Constitution
accept something. Yeah, I'm a United States citizen. I don't know if you are or not. But here's the thing. Blacks in Ferguson, who makes up about 70% of the population, did not come out and vote politics. The existing mayor, who had been there for ages. So who onus is on that? Politics control police. Politics controls police. Business control politics. If you don't have businesses, you don't control the politics. If you don't come out and vote to control the politics, then you get what you pay for. Or should I say don't put an effort for. When you don't come out and vote out a mayor who's supposed to have been, when you don't come out and vote out a mayor who's supposed to have been all of this and that, whose fault is that?
Let me ask you something real quick, Carl.
Go ahead.
I heard you in the beginning. You said that boycotting, you said it's not an effective way to show support for Colin Kaepernick. Am I correct?
No.
So can you tell me what is an effective way to show support for Colin Kaepernick's stance against police brutality?
Go out and vote in your community, especially when you got a community that's majority black. Vote out and put regulations that control your employees. Police are employees.
True that.
I just want to ask you something real quick, just out of curiosity. It's a little bit slightly off topic, but I want to know, how do you feel about the oppression of blacks in America? Do you see that as an issue? Do you think that blacks were oppressed at a time, or do you think they're still being oppressed? Do you mind answering that?
I think you're living in some of the best of times, especially as far as advancing yourself socially and economically, like other individuals. Look at all the Nigerians. They're just as black as Wesley Snipes. They come here and they do extremely well economically. They outscore whites and even Asians. And even in their household income is greater than whites.
Now, that is true. But do you know why? Because they have a nation, a country, and a history to rely and support them. Black Americans, we do not have this luxury because we've been stripped of our culture. So the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we've been trying to identify who we are and where we come from. Does that make
sense?
How
can somebody tell whether you're a Nigerian or not?
Listen, you can tell by phenotype, and then you can tell once you
start speaking. No, how can I tell if you are Nigerian or not?
You can tell by my phenotype. Nigerians have a phenotype, typically, that you can tell. At least I can tell a Nigerian from a East African, from a Eritrean or a Ethiopian. I can tell the difference from someone from Southern Africa or Sub-Saharan Africa. Like, you can tell by
blackness, an average white person that you say oppress you can tell when these other blacks are from Nigeria, so they don't oppress them.
Yes, they can tell. And when they come over, the Nigerians, and I've heard this specifically from Nigerians, they're told to stay away from black Americans because, you know, we're thugs, we're this, we're that, and we're up to no good. So this is what they're told before they even come over here. So they try to keep that disconnect between black Americans and the people from the continent. They try to keep that disconnect, and they tell us, you know, Africans around there running with bones in their nose, and it's all these different type of
I think I don't believe what you're saying.
Stuff, so
I'm gonna tell you why, because my wife is Ghanaian, and I'm part Nigerian, and hang out with a lot of them. I never heard that. But go ahead.
Let me ask you this, caller. I want to go back to what you said about the voting out. So when we have police officers that, you know, like in the Michael Brown situation and Eric Garner situation, You know, all these police that are brutalizing black people and they get away with it, you're saying that we can vote who out, vote the people out that's employing these officers? What do you, you kind of lost me with that. Explain that to me.
And police are employees just like the city hall, like public works, the fire department. In Ferguson, where Michael Brown hails from, the police officer that fired him was employed in Jennings, which is adjacent to Ferguson. That black city council disbanded its police. It dissolved the police department because it wasn't acting in a relative way with its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Wellston, another municipality that's black, they disbanded their police department. You know, one of the problems is that your schools are not preparing black students, especially at the high school level, for those positions, whether it's police department or whether it's emergency medical medical services.
Who's in charge of schools?
Black boards, black administrators, and the public.
No, sir. Now you know.
You trying to put things in my mind. You don't even live no place near here.
Brother Ted, hold on.
You know that the black people are not in charge of these schools. The state of Missouri is, where we're speaking from. The state of Missouri is in charge of those school boards.
The state of Missouri, the state board of education only set guidelines as it applies to minimum state standards. It has nothing to do with the daily operations of a school district.
How come it doesn't if they're in charge?
Because state statutes don't allow them to do that. They have an elected board.
Exactly. So do you know why, let's just say Parkway South looks like it does and McKinley High School, one of these city public high schools, look the way they look?
McKinley High School is a high school.
Do you think that's by coincidence?
Well, you asked a question. Why don't you let me answer it?
Let me rephrase my question. Do you think that it's a coincidence that majority black schools are underfunded and the curriculum is poor compared to the white counterparts in the suburbs? Do you think that's a coincidence?
Is that a question you want me to address?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You have all black school districts here in the St. Louis area that have more per pupil than all white school districts. You can Google that on the internet.
So you're saying that black people just can't get right? We just can't get right.
That ain't the question. That's not the question you asked me.
This is a follow-up question to the one I just asked. You're just saying it's black people's fault and we just can't get right, and if we just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, we'd be okay. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying this is that you are a citizen in a school district. You should be concerned and show some responsibility to what's going on in that school district. After all, you're paying for it.
I agree with that. Let's pull this
back into the police brutality, y'all. Let's not get off track here. Let's pull this back into our police department. So you saying that since the police officers, we pay their salaries. When these police officers do these acts, what are you saying the steps is for that community? Say, like, let's just go back to the Ferguson thing just because everybody knows that. When Darren Wilson did what he did, you're saying that the people in Ferguson, their move should have been what?
They should have came out to the poll and changed the government. The government should have police commissions that set the policy of how a police officer in those communities is supposed to act. If you don't want your police involved in high-speed chases, that's the policy that you put in place. If you want them, when they feel that they threatened, that they should retreat and call for backup, that's the policy you put in place.
Mm-hmm. Same as with any of these police departments across the country.
I can't say that because when you have a situation like a New York that have 35,000 police officers, that there is a political body. Chicago has drastically changed. But I can't say that for all because I don't know the situation. But I'm saying this. You are the employee of these public works employees. You are the employer. You pay their wages and salary. Why is all the police officers white in your community? And you got a 100% black community. Whose fault is
so
that?
We should be
agree. I agree with that. I do agree with that.
Attacking the police department and attacking our government, then boycott the NFL. Correct.
You don't have no. How many tickets do blacks buy for football games? These tickets cost almost $200.
We established that.
I'm agreeing with what you're saying. I just want to make sure that I know exactly your stance. Your stance is boycotting the NFL is not effective. You're saying we need to get out here and vote and make the changes in our communities. That's the best way for us to attack police brutality, correct?
Well, absolutely. If police brutality, firefighter brutality, public works brutality, city hall brutality, if you don't like the way these employees are acting, then you get rid of them or set policies that can lead up to their firing.
Gotcha. Now, let me say this,
thank you for your opinion. I thank you for calling, and we're going to try to take another caller. We're going to take another call from the 314 area, 314-319. Caller, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Peace, hey. Caller. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I was just calling in about the Kaepernick situation. I heard the other caller talking about the voting and everything. Vote your police officer in. I'm going to get straight to the Kaepernick thing. I can address that later. But as far as the Kaepernick situation, you know, my thing, what I would say about it was to get their attention in the NFL. I don't think boycotting it, you know, me and my other brethren, you know, outside of football, I don't think that really would affect it. But like you said, with the situation with Jerry Jones was saying that he'll fire one of his players or whatnot if they kneel down.
Right.
But my thing is this, strength in numbers. So I put it all on the football players. I believe, this is what I believe, but the action had to be shown. Now, if all them football players with your brother say, look, we is going to stand up and let Jerry Jones do what he want to do.
Right.
I can't see Jerry Jones firing 40 black players on his team and then trying to replace them. But I'm saying, well, we need to stand up around the NFL like that, though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because he ain't going to get no 40 black players. He got to fire all 40 black players. Then the union is going to get involved. So what they should do is go that route and also put in effect of what they want to be addressed. It's like police brutality and the fact that what Kaepernick was standing for was police brutality. And when he brought up the American flag, what he was just stating to them, like, he was saying, look, under y'all flag, y'all saying freedom and justice for all.
Exactly.
And we're not receiving that justice. You know,
exactly.
If we really want to get in debt to it, I mean, we can go way back to 1776 when they got their freedom and we were still enslaved and didn't have freedom. And all the way up to this point, we still don't have freedom, and we know the justice for all. Your justice system never works for us. Yeah.
Facts.
So
facts. Exactly.
My thing would be let them brothers stand up in NFL, take a bow and put it on the table and say, look, go to their union and let their union go to their top owners and say your players got a problem with this. And then it's going to hit their pocket. You know, because I thought in our own black league, let's be honest, what are we going to get our time from? Because the elite or the top dogs, they run all
the outlets. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
This is exactly. And to your point, caller, this is a multi-pronged battle. Like, there's so many different things going on. Like, this is just one effective way. Now, I do agree with the caller that the players should take a stand, but I feel like if the players not taking a stand, it is up to the fans to take a stand. So if the fans take a stand, then we can get somewhere. Like I said, it will hit their pockets eventually. But like I said, we know the majority fan base is a white fan base.
Right,
so they may
not
feel it right away in one season, but trust me, they will feel it as the momentum gets going and people start to not watch and not support. Because you're talking about merchandise, you're talking about
shirts,
you're
talking about merchandise,
you're talking about all type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it'll definitely
exactly.
will affect their pockets at the end of the day.
Right, but it'll be such a great impact if they do it initially, you know, inside. It'll be a great impact.
Right, right. Yeah, now, yeah.
It'll hit real fast.
Exactly. I agree.
I agree.
Right.
It'll hit real fast.
I agree, too. If it's done inside, it's definitely a different, greater impact. If it's done just by fan base, it's still an impact, but just not maybe as great.
Not as major, right.
Still
exactly.
Got,
right.
You still got viewerships and stuff that will still be compromised if they choose to say,
right.
Well, we're going to watch, which affects sponsorships.
Right.
The network.
And look. All your owners like Jerry Jones, Kraft, and everybody, when they start getting hurt like that, they're going to be like, well, hold on. Let's go address their situation because the white man going to listen to the white man. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to back up a little bit then. I don't know how much they're going to back up, but they're going to listen to their white counterpart before they listen to us, man.
Yeah, that's a fact. Unless we take a stand, like you say, unless the players take a stand and just didn't play, which, you know.
Right. Right, they ain't gonna trip off one player from each team, you know.
Exactly.
That ain't
one player. Yeah, that ain't.
Yeah, that ain't gonna work. That ain't exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That another thing.
It has to be like I was saying before. We have to come together to strengthen numbers. So if we come together, show unity. Then that's always together we stand, divided we fall. That's the true thing. And then another thing I want to real quick. Last call when he was bringing up the voting and all that, all those things sound great. That's wonderful. All those things are ideal, and that's the way the system should run. But you have people that break the law all the time, that don't go according to policy, that don't go according.
Exactly.
What do you do? So just because you come together and go to the voting system and get all this stuff, they still break the law. He broke the law when he done that. To Michael Brown.
Right.
Man, it wasn't in the law to say kill that man. It was
they
broke the law.
Hey, look, and then I ain't trying to talk about nobody, but as a black man, you know, I forgot what he said, his race was Nigerian or something. I mean, really, for me, you can't speak on my behalf as a black man.
No, it's
so
his wife.
Right, huh?
His wife, his wife.
Well, okay, well, I don't know what he said he was. He was saying something, but as far as the police...
He said his wife was.
Okay, I stand corrected. But as far as the police officers, I got a couple of friends, actually, because I work with the city, and they wanted to move in the county, right? So they got to get 7 years in. But first, they was trying to get on with a police force in the county. What they was told, their application wasn't accepted because they wasn't qualified. So what they'll use is there is not enough qualified black police officers.
Look,
and my thing is, how is they not qualified and they already a police officer for the city?
Look, this is the thing, y'all, we got to understand. The white supremacists will move the goalpost on you.
Man,
no pun intended. We're talking about football, but they will move the goalpost. They'll say, oh, y'all got to do this and that and do this, and then y'all could just, you know, we ain't stopping y'all, and then they'll move the goalpost to something else. Like, come on, like, we got to understand how these people play. Like,
they don't
really understand the game. Like, even if we it's systematic because if we switch the police, we still got to worry about these grand juries. We got to worry about these judges. We got to worry about all these prosecutors, these county prosecutors. Like, come on, man, they got us, like,
it's
a lot of different systems going on, and we don't understand. We just think, oh, if we just went out and voted, changed it. No. That's
I never
work.
Seen voting work
police.
Though, man.
They gonna redistrict. They can redistrict your. They can redistrict your city to where they stopping black votes. There's all type of voter frauds that be going on. Like you got to understand
exactly.
The game that's being played. You know what
you
I'm saying? Come on, y'all.
And you have to remember that they. Another thing you have to remember. They decided to say one day, y'all can vote.
Exactly. They decided one day that we can vote. You did what I'm saying? You tell me to go out and vote. They're not redistricting these places. Come on, y'all.
Right.
Let's be for real.
Carla, I got to ask you a question.
Let's be for real.
Do you feel that boycotting is an effective way to show support for Colin Kaepernick's, his cause for police brutality? Do you think boycotting NFL will be an effective way?
Well, I stand at. I mean, I know I ain't gonna boycott the NFL. Now, if you talking about buying clothing and stuff like that, but me just boycotting it. I mean, what you talking about watching it visually? You know, because what I said is for a great impact. you know, for a now situation, it's for them to do it on the inside. Because if we boycott it now, you know how we are. 3 months pass and we own something else. The boycott don't even exist no more. So it ain't really, as a whole, as a black people as a whole, I don't think it'll take effect. Because we'll get caught up in something else. But if the team players who work for the NFL, if they boycott it, it's going to be a great effect. It'll be an effect like this season. Because you ain't got no
You'd much rather see the players take a bigger stand like the team. What do you want to see the players do more of in order to boycott or show support? What would you rather see the players do?
For me, what I would like to see the players do, because they got a union, okay, and from what Kaepernick has set forth, okay, let's get it in writing, get it notarized, or what we won't address, or we're not playing. And, you know, let the union go talk to the upper heads, the owners, and look, if they want to fire us, let it be. We can't cow down, you know what I'm saying? We got to understand the consequences of our actions, just like when we was marching through slavery and trying to get rights. You know, sometimes you're going to have to suffer to get to that point.
Exactly. Sacrifice.
And look, now, we got to keep in mind, a lot of them already got money in their account. You know what I'm saying? They just want to downgrade.
Yeah, but look, we got to keep in mind also, too, that the players are part of the community. So if the community at large was to boycott, they go feel the effect. When they at home and family gatherings and holidays, they family go be speaking. You know what I'm saying? Their family will, you know, these discussions will come up in family gatherings, because what I'm saying is the players are part of the community. So if this gets rolling and gets, you know, bigger and bigger, they're going to feel the effect. And who knows, they may start to boycott because they're starting to feel the heat from the community at large, like family members, or when they go out, like people are starting, like if the ball gets rolling, they may potentially be like, okay, look, we're getting heat from our family, friends, this and that. So we may boycott.
Right.
You know, that may be an option for them. You know what I'm saying? But I think not doing nothing is not effective either, because not doing nothing ain't going to stop police brutality either. You did, or continue watching it, you know what I'm saying, not going to stop
but
it
I'm
either.
Saying,
so.
But what I'm saying, well, what I'm saying is, as a player, they can come together and put that in effect and say in writing, this is what we want. Me standing back and not buying your clothes or nothing, the information never gets to the upper head and say, oh, I'm not buying your clothing because of police brutality. But if Marshawn Lynch, Kaepernick, all your players, black players, say, get with the union, get the paperwork pushed through, this is why we ain't playing no more. All across the 32 teams of the NFL.
Right. Yeah, that'd be big.
Yeah, that'd be major. If the owners want to fire them, so let it be. Know the consequences of your actions. But look, you're going to fire 40 black players from off your team, and now you just got a kicker and a quarterback.
Never would you do that, Jerry Jones.
And
never.
You got special teams. You might got special
exactly.
teams.
Yeah, you might have some special teams out there. Your whole defense is gone. Defense is gone.
Wide receivers, you can't throw to nobody.
Exactly. Yeah.
No running backs. Yeah,
so,
that's
but
what
that's what we got to realize, because I think the boycott will make us realize, too, that the power is in the people. Like, that's
it
not
is.
Just a saying. The power is in the people. So if
the people stand up
and then the players stand up, it's a wrap. They're going to sit at the table and start negotiating, trying to get something done. Like, how can we work this out? Yeah.
Hey, look, if your players stand up first, you know we ain't watching football because there ain't going to be no football playing.
Exactly.
So we're going to be kind of like forced to boycott anyway.
Let me ask you this. See, I want to get your opinion on this real quick, because we're getting towards the end. I asked earlier in the show to my co-host, I'm going to ask you, okay, if the public get together right and they boycott the NFL and say they're able to shut the NFL down. Now, Brother Kev and Love Shave was saying that would be a win situation. So I'm asking you, if that was to happen, how would that be a win, and how would that affect change towards police brutality? Do you feel that would be a change towards police brutality? So how would that affect?
Well, first of all, I don't know what effect it's going to have on us boycotting as fans, you know, because the large base of your fans, you know, be honest with you, are not black. It's not black American. You know, your ticket
right.
holders and everything, you know, the white people, they buy jerseys as well, you know, the coats
right.
and
right.
the PSL tickets. So I don't
right.
know what effect that really would have, you know, if any, you know what I'm saying? That's why I was addressing the fact that the players, you know, should
right.
start the effect first.
Right.
You know?
So,
and then I was saying, like,
Go ahead.
So I'm saying, you know, us starting the ball rolling, I just don't see, you know, nothing coming out of it. Because like I said, 3 months from now, you know, as a people, we'll be on to something else. When the greater effect can be on the inside. And then if they
yeah.
do it on the inside, of course, we going to back down. Because, look, first of all, we can't watch football no more. We going to lose interest because it ain't on no more. We barely buy jerseys and we barely buy jerseys and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? We're not that big on
right,
jerseys.
Right,
we do,
right.
but
so
not on the
right,
scale
but not like
of what
that,
white
yeah.
people do.
You
know, white
exactly.
people buy
not
carpet.
Like
you don't see,
they
you
buy
don't
carpet
see it.
And everything.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Carl. We got time for one more caller. One more
okay.
caller. We got time. Then we're going to have to shut it down. So we're going to go 314-616. Carlo, are you there? 314-616.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Hey, how you doing, caller?
Hey, how's it going? Be real brief. I almost forgot about you guys, but if I say something that's been repeated, please forgive me, but I think that the fact that we're trying to negotiate and we're trying to do this and trying to do that, it still shows that we're trying to be on the plantation. And I don't know
right.
if Ice Cube's name was mentioned or not, but I think that the idea that he's using could be the most effective for us. It's going to take a while for us to get to that platform, but I think that it's a time for us to leave the plantation and build our own. I think
right.
about how the Negro League, you know, was and how the military science white supremacy, they came to our games and figured out that we were more athletically inclined than them and convinced
right.
us that we wasn't shit and made
right.
us work against our own best interests and then, you know, pulled the select ones like the Jackie Robinsons and that, you know, out of those leagues. And then before you knew it, our system had collapsed and the Negro League no longer existed. Because we didn't believe enough in ourselves. So
yeah,
I really think that if we want to resolve this problem, just call the plantation. Just say, hey, you know what? I know that it's going to be a significant pay cut. If we have people like a Deion Sanders or whoever, people that have been successful and have managed that money correctly to help support these leagues. And I would even say I've heard something that they've been talking in negotiation with the HBCUs of starting to pay the college kids. So if we can convince our kids to go to the HBCU, they're going to get some money, and then come into our own leagues, we won't get the money
right.
that you know you would normally get. But you know, I think that the best resolution for this thing is to not even be at the negotiation table. Let them negotiate among themselves and make the decision that this day we're walking off.
So basically, Carly, you pretty much saying that. Still, like what our last caller said, the power is in with the players. The players should take it upon themselves to walk away from the table. Fans
right.
boycotting the NFL. You don't see it as effective as players on the inside walking away.
It's almost like a slave rebellion. They never
mm-hmm.
think about the slave rebellions because if you knew more about those, you would understand the power of the slave. The plantation
exactly.
doesn't operate without the slave's labor. So
right.
if I understand that this thing is functional off of my labor, then I realize the power that I have. And I mean, like, outside of Chris Long, I haven't heard any of the white boys come in and step up on it. You know what I'm saying? So I think that if white people that claim to be good white people, if they really want to have
mm-hmm.
Any impact, they need to be
yeah.
the ones speaking up as well.
Right. I will say
right.
this real quick.
Right.
What you just said, Chris Long, his brother also spoke out. It was another player, his name is getting beside me, right? I can't think of it. But it was another white player that also had something to say. And what I'm liking is what Colin did was a spark. Okay, a spark, just like you say, to a rebellion. And so I like the fact and what he did. I agree with you and the last caller. To me, the power is with the players. The players have to come together.
Thanks.
They got more of the power than we do as fans on the outside. So without, so the question is boycotting the NFL an effective strategy? I feel that that is a more better strategy, a more effective strategy than fans boycotting. You see what I'm saying? So that's why when we boycott and we take chances, we got to be strategic. Let me finish my statement. We got to be strategic in what our goals are. You just don't boycott and sit down. You have to look at this thing step by step by step and have an end result to the process. To just boycott just to show that we can come together, I don't agree with that. You have to make
now. Let me say this. Exactly. Let me say this. There are listen. Let me say this real quick. There are a list of demands because I watched on C-SPAN that there was a rally in front of the NFL commission, and they went through a list of demands that they want for this boycott. So my thing is, you cannot put the cart in front of the horse. Like, we want the players to boycott. Yes, that would be effective, of course. We wanted the NBA players to boycott when Trayvon got shot and all this and that. That would be great. But we have to keep the horse in front. And if the people, which the players are part of the community, if the community boycotts, that can start the players to boycott. But we can't expect the players to boycott and the community not doing nothing. That don't make sense. Why would I give up my $1 million salary and the people don't care about police brutality? That don't make sense.
Can I jump in and say something real quick? And I'm going to keep it real brief. I know we run out of time. But if the players boycott and they're not playing, I can guarantee you the fans are not going to come there to see the refs and the coaches. That's a fact.
Correct.
I also want to mention, I had watched a little video recently, and it's from the 60s, and it talked about Sam Cooke, Malcolm X, and Muhammad Ali's relationship. I think that showed me why there's such a division among black people in high powers to separate, because back in the 60s, when the white power structure figured out that Sam Cooke, Malcolm X, and Muhammad Ali were all unified.
Working together,
correct. And here you have the most popular boxer, activist, and a black musician that owned his own label, that becomes danger in that. And if we get more of that, because I would say outside of the players, if we get a Jay-Z or, you know, Beyonce or whoever is popular in the eyes of the masses, that they begin to speak out.
So,
thank you, Paula. We're gonna appreciate you calling in. Thanks, Carlos.
Let me get 30 seconds real quick, and I'm going to let you close it out.
Make it fast.
Yeah, I agree with what y'all saying about the players boycotting first, but my thing is, how can we expect the players to boycott if the community's not boycotting first? Now, I agree, it would be more effective, but my thing is, I think the community has to step up first, and then we hope the players will step up, but we can't expect them to boycott and people still, you know, we just can't expect them to boycott and the people still want to watch football. You know what I'm saying? That just don't make sense. So, but go ahead.
30 seconds. Come on with
you. Okay. I do agree that players boycotting, but I thought Mr. Collins was boycotting. So, for me, the question was for both players and fans. I thought it was for everybody across the board. So I totally agree with the players also boycotting as well as the fans, you know. So I think that's an awesome strategy as well, you know, to I think that's good. And I still feel like boycotting is effective. And I just think
Let me shut it down, y'all, because we ran out of time quickly. Hey, thank you again to all the callers that called in. This was a good bill, and you know, very controversial. We all got a little heated, you know, not Fifi, including me. So I enjoyed this conversation. We got to continue to talk about topics like this. That's how we get solutions. That's how we come together and get solutions to our problems. So thanks for tuning in. Please, you know, check with us every Sunday.
Collective
Minds. Collective Minds Radio. You know, stay with us. Look us up on Facebook. It's Thanks again, everybody. We'll look for you guys next Sunday. Check what's in.
All right, y'all. Yeah, appreciate it. Peace. Peace.